All right, Nation, we are back in the midst of reviewing Invasion 2001, back inside the one and only Vintage Vault, Mrs. Chris Golo. It's been an interesting show so far.
Yes.
An interesting pay-per-view overall. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I remember actually really enjoying this show that night. All the weird matches and weird guys. This is as much as 3 months had gone by, it came back to me that, wow, this is really cool. Like, all these new dudes. And like, we hadn't had this really in a while. This influx of new guys.
It's 2001, more than any year in WWF history, is the most split year. Like, the first half was so great and so different, and then this is so great in its own way. I mean, it is what it is by the end, but the excitement here is just great for a whole different reason. And it almost felt like they cut short. In a way, it almost feels like it was a godsend, but also a cut short. Like, it cut short a really good phase of WWF history. First half of 01. But it was also a godsend because there were so many injuries and things were getting so depleted that they needed something new to kind of mix things up a little bit for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It almost is like 94 WCW. I know we keep coming back to it. Mm-hmm. When we talked about it. We're going to talk about it again in a few weeks with Will and Charles. But it almost felt that way. Like, the first half was all their stuff. Mm-hmm. The great in-ring work rate, some really good storylines, some really good characters. And then they get this influx of talent and they have to abruptly change everything. And it's still good in its own way, but it's different, you know?
Yeah, it was. And just seeing the influx of guys, and it was really neat. And then, sadly, that didn't dictate, it didn't translate to anything better down the line in terms of the overall product. But we'll get there. All right.
Before we get to that, let's talk quickly about PlaySubmission.com.
Yes, absolutely.
I think you were giving me a good segue, and then you pissed on it. So, get an F. Speaking of Fs, Steve Rogers looked at the one last look at the 2014 Baseball Hall of Fame announcements, kind of piggybacking on your piece as well, where you talked about the nonsense that goes behind the voting process with these elitist pricks in the BW fucks out there. Andrew Reich has a great piece on Pac-12 basketball in Arizona, how Sean saved the West. Good piece there for College Hoops fans. Scott Keith's did a brand new smart rant for Royal Rumble 2011. That's never seen before because he had never watched the show until last week. So that's a fresh Scott Keith rant right there if you're a fan of his work. Scott, we reposted our Royal Rumble Listomania.
Yes.
We did that shit, a couple years ago, right?
Yep.
2012?
Beginning of 12,
yeah, before the 12 we did that. We counted down. We built the Ultimate Rumble. We ranked all the world title matches, all the Rumble winners. And you can hear our podcast about it, and it's there in written form as well. Where the Big Boys Play, did a U.S. Wrestling and the U.K. special. Chad and Parv were joined by Alan Blackstock of the Wrestling Eye Podcasts. And welcome to wrestling historian, writer, and author John Lister. And from U.K. fan forum, ring announcer for Welsh Wrestling, Gareth Mayberry. Talked about all different U.S. wrestling in the United Kingdom. So a little bit different slant there with Chad and Parv. Mm-hmm. And they'll be back to reviewing their WCW stuff soon as well. Scott Keith's NXT review from 115 was there. Weber Has Issues, The Saviors, Episode 1. And Scott, you heard the song going to break, The Mom Song by Old Spice. Mm-hmm. The hottest commercial in the land right now.
Yes, it is.
At least in my eyes. And I did a Treasure Trove entry, my fourth one. You may have seen the past ones. I did an episode of ECW, the Tough Enough casting special from 2001. I did the Ghostbusters song music video, and now Mom Song, the commercial. I broke it down for you. So I hope you guys enjoy that one. Mm-hmm. Sellers Points, Warner Brothers and the glaring missed opportunity that they had in their hands and let slip through. That is by Russell Sellers. Mm-hmm. Steve Willey and Glenn Butler had the high spot this week. They looked at the American Wolves, now known as the Wolves, debuting in TNA, plus the Ultimate Warriors Hall of Fame induction, and a whole bunch of other stuff in the high spot. That's our weekly news piece. It will now be written by Steve Willey and Glenn Butler. So be sure to check that out there as well. A new episode of Goodwill Wrestling. We reposted an interview he did with Steve Corino, kind of coming off of ours. This is one they talked about the greatest stables in wrestling history, Scott. This one's right up your alley.
Yes.
It was originally recorded July 7th, 2010. Talk about the Horsemen, the Heenan Family, Devastation Inc., and much more. So if you're a fan of stables and you enjoyed listening to Steve Corino, and you could tolerate Will, go ahead and check that one out. You'll enjoy it. Ryan Everett's main event review, my Ring of Honor recap, of course, heading into the big show at Pittsburgh this weekend. That was up there for you as well, plus Matt Petticord's SmackDown. We had Dan McGinn's Superstars, the rising star himself, Dan McGinn, of course, stock flying around the offices at PlaySubmission.com.
Yes,
Andrew Reich is the diamond of the rough, Dan McGinn is the apple of my eye. And Ben Morse is the shit I flush down the toilet. New episode of Answering the 10 Count was there as well. And Wrestling Across America, Scott. Here's a big one. Will John Filipovich of Barb City, Barb Wire City documentary, Johnny Sorrow from Titans of Wrestling, and the Blue Meanie.
What?
The Blue Meanie looked at wrestling in Philadelphia. Wrestling Across America, a new series. They're going to look at all different cities and their history with wrestling. And I told Will, I'm going to be there when we talk Providence, baby. I will be there when we're talking King of the Ring 97 with Will. But the Blue Meanie, check it out. This is a great episode. They talk about their memories as kids going to the Philly shows and all the wrestling history that's taken place in that great city as well. So be sure you check that one out. Exclusive here to PlaceToBeNation.com. And I can find that one anywhere else. Philadelphia and the Blue Meanie. We reposted, Scott, our Vintage Vault Royal Rumble 1992. You can listen to the podcast and read our full review that we wrote back in the day. Jeremy Nichols had his House of Horror looking at Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. That is not about Ben Morse. NBA Weekly Roundup, Andrew Reich has that. Talks about the MVP race and what LeBron James has going on. And Kevin Durant kind of compares with their season so far. Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Long Book Hunters look at Gotham Central Volume 1. And I hear it's pretty good, Scott, so definitely read that.
Yes.
Jordan Duncan builds the ultimate Royal Rumble, kind of takes off what we did with our Listomania and did one of his own, went through and picked one guy from each Rumble, one number each time, one wrestler each time, and gives a little explanation of why it would have been a good move.
Yes.
And, of course, finally, Chad Campbell, Vintage Vault previewing Invasion 01, the show we're doing tonight. As he does each and every Vintage Vault, he picks one match, previews it on the site on Monday afternoon, and he did the X-Pac Kidman match that you were gushing over, and he gave it 2 stars. So be sure to check that out as well, and all things on PlaceToBeNation.com. And Scott, well, I guess we'll save for the end. We'll talk about how our schedule's changing later this week. But
yes.
For the website, you can go ahead and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Follow us on Twitter, place2bNation as well. All right.
Trivia for you.
Okay.
Two questions.
Make them long ones so I can catch my breath.
Okay.
All right.
You mentioned two podcasts, two past great podcasts while you were doing our awesome situations and actions and everything going on Place to Be Nation.
I didn't really mean make it long, but go ahead.
Do you remember the episode numbers of both the 1992 Royal Rumble Vault and our Royal Rumble Listomania?
All right. Rumble 92... I'm going to say 42. 58. No, wait. Hang on. Huh?
58.
Damn it. I was going to say, because I know where Rumble 91 is like 41-ish.
Mm.
Damn it.
58. All right. Do you remember the Royal Rumble list? And that was posted on August 24th, 2011.
Okay. So okay. That was 58. Rumble Listomania. 15 in there. There's another. I'm going to say 93.
I'll give you one more guess. Slightly higher.
97.
102.
Okay, so it was after 100.
Yep. January 28th, 2012.
Interesting.
We're at the point now, JR, we can actually give the dates and we'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, yeah. So there's two great podcasts to get you ready for the Rumble as it's right around the corner, of course, this coming Sunday. All right. Two matches left in Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tag team match involving the two hottest WWF chicks taking on the two hottest Alliance chicks. The two hottest WWF chicks are, of course, Trish Stratus and Lita. Taking on the pretty much...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like when you look down, when you look across...
Oh, you're so creepy. Stop it.
Look, when you look across and you see them wearing spiked shoulder... Oh, never mind. All right.
Ugh. It was Harlem at the Rutgers. Yeah. I saw you with your man smiling, huh? A coach bag in your hand.
Actually, I heard this on Sirius today.
Did you really? Yes. They would both be wearing.
Do you realize it's Boyz II Men in that song with them?
Is that really them?
Yeah,
I guess you could tell.
Yeah, they all sound the same. That what you're trying to say?
You, no, you said that, not me. I'm not saying you ain't set me up for nothing. All right. Okay. So let's talk about the two. Talk about the two. That I wear in shoulder pads. All right.
Well, at least we found a way to reason to bring this song back now.
Yes, because we probably would only have to play it one more time in a couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's talk about them. I'll pick. I'll do the first one.
Yeah. I mean, the first one is from the sexiest city in the world. But go ahead.
Yes. Boise, Idaho.
Yes.
Home of the Blue Turf. Blue Turf.
And we're ready to rumble.
That's right.
That was Lusk. Lusk, Idaho.
Yes. We're talking, of course, about the
Lusk Hogan.
Lusk Hogan, the voluptuous. Tori Wilson. She started in WCW in 1999 under the name Samantha and was used by the NWO.
Samantha Gray, I believe.
Yes, Samantha Gray. And was used by the NWO, I wish, to seduce David Flair.
Oh, no, God, you'd really be freaking out. Oh, yeah, Samantha Gray. Breathe those checkered booty shorts over here.
Damn you, Renzi. All right. She was in the Filthy Animals.
I can't wait to celebrate your sweet 16 in 3 years.
When he was in the Filthy Animals and the New Blood in 1999-2000. She would make
show you a real filthy animal. May have found a new character, Creepy Scott.
She would make her first...
Although you've been doing that character for almost 300 episodes. So
she would make her first WWF appearance on the 628 SmackDown when she attempted to seduce Vince McMahon throughout the night. When they were continuously interrupted by Steve Austin and Kurt Angle. Finally, at the end of the show, she had Vince strip down in a room and opened the door to allow his wife Linda to see what was happening.
I like when they watch.
That double cross showed Tori's allegiance to WCW and Shane McMahon. So.
Stacy Keibler is a Baltimore native, former Ravens cheerleader.
Please,
she would win a tryout to become a Nitro girl, and she did just that. Attended school and cheered for the Ravens all at the same time. Her first role would be as Miss Hancock, managing Lodi and Lenny Lane in their roles as standers and practices. She would wear a business suit and dance provocatively on the broadcast table. She would also become an on-screen and off-screen girlfriend of David Flair. Ric Flair's son. After an aborted pregnancy storyline with David, her real name was given and she was taken off TV. She makes her debut on the June 14th SmackDown, escorting Shane McMahon to the ring to distract Rhino in a match. Mm-hmm. In the ring, in a match, in the ring. To establish a darker side of these ECW ladies that Scott was marking out for.
Yes.
They began making passes at Matt Hardy, who was dating Lita, and Jeff Hardy, who had recently been linked to Trish on screen in the weeks leading up to the show. They even went as far as to kiss both Hardy brothers on the lips. Imagine if women were doing that back in your day, Scott.
Back in our day, women were courted.
Or kissing on the lips.
No.
Until they were married.
That's right. After honeymoons.
School marms were not but have been happy.
School
Lita and Trish were not impressed and were looking for revenge here.
When do we ever use the term school marms on this show?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. You said it.
You lived through it.
What? I like how they just decided to make Jeff. I like how they just kind of made Trish and Jeff a couple, just to kind of shoehorn the storyline. All right, you're going out with Trish for the next couple weeks.
It's like, right. Well, I mean, Trish had been positioned as quite the slut, so it kind of made sense.
that's wonderful. All right, a good breather before the main event. Four hottest women in the company. It's a showcase. They're in the ring at the same time.
You don't have to try to be creepy. You just are. So don't even try and do the voice.
Mick Foley comes out to soak up some of the hotness of the match.
He's worse than you.
And Mick Foley ruins everything. Get out of the ring. But really didn't matter who lost. I mean, it was good to see four good-looking women. And, of course, because we have to go by the score, that ties the match at 5. The series, if you will, at 5. So there you go. Nothing more to say about that.
Are you sure? There's nothing more? That's it?
No more, no. The school marm is telling me we need to leave.
Can you sit down finally?
The headmaster.
Are you able to sit down?
Yes. I'm fine. School marm.
School marm.
Super. Perfect Sean.
Yes. Perfect Sean, right. The school marm.
The school marm. All right, let's get to the main event.
Playing basketball with a midget.
With a midget. Keebler.
Keebler elves. Fucking midgets.
Both thought of it. All right.
I can. It was the most obvious joke in the world. Of course, we're both going to think of it.
Amanda.
What's wrong with you?
All right. Okay. Let's get down to...
Who's saying that? Boston?
Yes. Find that for you. All right. Time for the main event. Because we are now tied at 5.
PTB Nation, it is now time for the Rob Hughes Houston Memorial Hacksaw Jim Duggan Update.
I got my 2x4.
Something I could have made his ass a real man.
Place to be nation. This is Mark Claire with your Vincent Kennedy McMahon health update. Now, it's been a while since our last update, so I want to let all of you know that Vince is still alive and well. He has remained in a comatose state since overdosing late last year on what we believe to be a poisoned supply of his cocaine. Now, after spending nearly every single moment with Vince in Stanford after the poisoning, I had to take a little time out. I got a little overwhelmed, and I had to head back to my home in Los Angeles, kind of relax. And I want to thank Pussy Posse member Matt Rotella for watching over Vince in my stead. But now I'm back here in Stanford with Vince in the hospital. He is sleeping soundly. He's responding well to my foot massages. And speaking with doctors, we're still very hopeful for an eventual recovery. Now, during my time back in L.A., I had a little time to reflect while sipping some scotch up on my roof. And I wrote a quick little poem, which summarizes my feelings for Vince, and I'd like to share that with you guys here today. Just grab it here. All right, let's see. Roses are red, violets are blue. If it wasn't for Vince McMahon, I'd just be a sad and lonely Jew. Vince is my prince, who knows my every desire. Be it Doink the Clown, Mantar, or Friar Ferguson. When it comes to wrestling, only VKM can really light my fire. Be it his confident swagger or his biting dry wit, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, you truly are too legit to quit. Now, as you may know, we have a private detective that we've employed. J.R. Senio, Saverio Rotella, no relation to any P2B members, I should point out. He was currently investigating the incident that led to Vince's coma. And I'd like to remind you all, in Place to Be Nation, we have set up a tip line, an email, vkmtips@placetobenation.com. Now, if you know anything, suspect anything, or even just have a completely baseless conspiracy theory, send it our way. We will give it a listen and we will look into it. Now, as you guys may remember, Vince had a little mechanism in place for this very possibility. And every day of his life, Vince McMahon had been recording personal audio diaries in the event that something like this were to happen. And I'm lucky enough to be the one to be here to play them for you, the members of the Place to Be Nation family. And today, we're going to hear a little audio diary from way back in February 1993. Just grab a tape here. Now, the only thing it says on this tape is that it was recorded in a limo in Texas in February of 1993. So I'm not really sure what we're getting here, but let me just play it for you. And here it comes.
Lou, I think we took a turn down here. I think we're headed the right way. It's been some trying times here in the World Wrestling Federation. I had to overcome the sexual allegations that weren't true. I have Ted Turner biting on my ass. I got Lou Rotella's, I think he's mentally challenged Shun in the limo with me, and it's tough maintaining myself around him, and you know, not just whipping it out like I usually do and beating it in the back of my limo. It's tough to sit here and focus. And how am I supposed to come up with house show cards if I'm not whacking off in the back of my limo? That's what me and Patterson and Briscoe have been doing for years back here. But all right, it's fine. I mean, kid wants to ride along with his dad. I get it. I'm not going to lie. Rumble 93 was a tough one. I thought it came out all right. The crowd was kind of but I'm going to turn things around. One thing that's really been eating at me, though, the death of Andre the Giant, the Hall of Famer, the big man making the fishy face on TNT, slamming Hulk Hogan, and then winning at WrestleMania 3. That was awesome. What a great... What? Hogan wants to come back? I remember Andre putting over Hulk Hogan clean in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania 3. Like the legend that he is. Just an icon. And then I get the news. One of my good, close, personal friends, Kerry Von Erich, is in trouble. He's been wrestling Kamala across the country. I don't know how you can even feel down on yourself. What a feud! I had to sub him out with Red fucking Tyler on house shows. I don't even know who Red Tyler is. He was in the back, and now he's wrestling Kamala? That's a main event match, and I had to screw all the fans off for a refund. So my buddy Fritz called me, said, my son is not of right mind, Vince. Can you come down to the ranch and see what's going on? Can you come save him? Can you work your magic? This man is lost. He needs to be found. He's hanging around with Waylon Mercy and Draws, pushing drugs on everyone down in Texas. Can you come and just see what's going on? I don't want him to go the way of my other sons. I said, yes. I want to recreate the feuds with him and Hercules working in the Miami Arena back in last January, Fritz. I'll come save your son. So here we are. Me, Lou, Matt, and this other kid, Mark, riding along. Mark Clare, you may know him. I've talked about him before. He's just a friend of my neighbor's or something. Here we are. We're on the way to... Okay, I think we're here. What's this? The Smack Ranch? Yeah, this is the place. What, Carrie, what are you doing? Get off that... Can you get off the horse and talk to me for a minute? What is wrong? What is going through your mind? We can save you, Carrie. I'll give you the world... I'll give you the You can be tag team champions with Brutus Beefcake. He's coming back next week on Raw. We got big things planned. You can feud with Crut. You can feud with Sean. You can feud with Doink. Well, maybe not Doink. We got big things planned for him, too. Bob Backlund, maybe. We'll find you something. High Energy, you heard of them? You can work with them. The crowds will love it. Carrie, just please, just... You're on that horse. You're near that cliff. It's making me very nervous. All right, Carrie. I wrote a song just for you. I'd never been heard of. I came up with it on the way over here. I needed something to do. I couldn't watch my porn with Rotella's kid in the back. Carrie, if this song doesn't get through to you, I don't know what else is going to. I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would understand. You'd be in breach of your contract, but I would understand. The angry boy's a bit too insane, icing over a secret pain. You know you don't belong. You're the first to fight, you're way too loud. You're the flash of the light on the burial shroud. And you can feud with Kamala again. I know something's wrong, ill everyone I know has got a reason to say, put the past away, I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You can do the claw hold with all the lies that you've been living in. And you can fight Dino Bravo at WrestleMania again. I would understand. I would understand that no one would want to watch that match again. Well, he's on the table. He's gone to code. And I don't think anyone knows what they're doing here. And your friends have left you. You've been dismissed. I never thought it would come to this. And I want you to know, everyone's got to face down the demons. Maybe today you could face Damian Demento and put the past away. I wish you'd come back from that ledge, my friend. Coco Beware wants to lay down for you one more time. You've been living in, and if you do not want to see me again, I would understand. Just job one last time. It's a time-honored tradition to put over Shawn Michaels one last time. I would understand. Kerry Von Erich, I'll be in the limo with more pussy than you've ever seen. Lou, get the car ready. It's funny, I hear that every weekend, that song. Only not in song form. The Lil' Kim one, not the other one. Mm-hmm.
First off, a fine poem by our good friend.
That was really nice, actually.
Although it looked like when he was picking the poem up, he fell off the cabana roof. But a fine poem nonetheless. And now we realize why Matt is the way he is. Okay. Quite sad. Lou, probably not a good idea to put him in the car that day. All right.
All right.
Sorry, I was just thinking of Kerry Von Erich and Damien Demento at WrestleMania 9.
Could have been great. What if we were robbed?
All right. Time for the main event. Our 10-man inaugural brawl. The tiebreaker. Our Team WWF. Did you want to talk about the Raw, or do you want to do the guys first?
Let's talk about the guys first.
Okay. Team WWF is Chris Jericho. Kane, The Undertaker,
and that song goes out to Brad Woodling, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, calling in here tonight.
Have a great night, Brad. We know you want it. All right.
Everyone drive a little bit slow out there on I-95. There's a lot of bacon frying on the side of the road, and I don't want to get pulled over here tonight listening to Light 105. So here's another great song dedicated just to you, Chad Campbell. I'm a fucking hillbilly.
Bacon on the side of the road. All right.
that's been like a long joke with me and Don, and I was thrilled to finally get to use it somewhere. The bacon. Because we used to listen to Art Spencer on Light 105 and call in and do fake like requests. And we always used to joke about the lot of bacon frying on the side of the road as a slang for cops. So I was glad to actually get to use that for a large audience.
Art Spencer, what was he like, the Love Songs at Night guy?
Yeah, he got I actually have an autograph of a picture of him. We wrote in and asked him for one. So that was awesome. Yeah, he did the, what the hell is it called? Nightlight.
Nightlight.
We have one of me calling, and it was, what the fuck did we say it was? Dusty going to Steve or something. And,
Yellow Dog.
There was this weird interference noise, and he's like, what is that noise? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, oh, I thought it was a foghorn. I thought maybe you were by the bay. I was like, what?
Yes, we're live here in Narragansett.
And so we go, we really just wanted to hear Piano Man, right? We wanted to get it on tape for whatever reason, because that's how you had to do things back then. You couldn't just download a song.
Right.
So exactly. So I'm like, yeah, you know, if the whole thing is absurd. I got to find the tape and play it, because I have it on tape. And it's like,
oh, Jesus.
The whole thing is absurd. He's like, I want to request a song for my girlfriend. I really love her. He's like, how long have you been dating? I'm like, 3 months. So basically, it's your brother and that girl, right? So then we're like, he's like, all right, well, what song do you want to hear? I'm like, I love to hear Piano Man. He's like, well, he's like, that's really more of a song of Billy Joel's life. He's like, you know, maybe I'll play something else for you. And then he played some other fucking stupid song. But it was great. I gotta dig the tape up and play it for you guys here.
Oh, my God. Did you and your three-month girlfriend have sand hearts in the sun on the fucking beach?
We're making bit strips as we speak.
Oh, good God. All right.
I thought maybe we were by the bay.
All right. Of course, we're talking about Kurt Angle. Kurt coming off his double performance at King of the Ring, JR.
Triple.
That's right. Two matches.
Three matches. Triple means
three. Well, two matches in the tournament.
I thought you would know, of all things, triple means three. You know, the three H's. Three orgasms with the three H's.
Yes. Of course, the two matches in the tournament, and then, of course, the match with Shane McMahon. The fifth guy. Now, the fifth guy, JR, kind of goes in line with your experience the Monday going into the show.
I think my Scott Old Man Purr voice is kind of like also my Johnny Sorrow impression from Titans of Wrestling.
Make sure you listen in. For the bacon on the side of the road.
We need you guys to do a show together and just be creeps.
Jesus, come on.
Two 40-year-old creeps.
Tori Wilson and some ham. All right. Of course, the fifth guy on Team WWF, your World Wrestling Federation champion.
Play midgets with the Queeble Elves.
Play midgets with the Queeble Jesus. Oh man, it has been a long time since we've done a vault.
Right. It's been a long night. We got halfway through. We got interrupted with a conference call with Kevin Kelly, and
I know,
out of control tonight.
Bizarro world. I'm showing how to
my
download things.
My wife couldn't
things.
Switch Jesus. The input in the fucking TV, so that we had to stop for that. Fucking train wreck.
All right, and then Art Spencer screws you out of Piano Man. all right. So Austin,
yes,
our world champion, has been in kind of a weird mood since the last couple months, feeling paranoid, very. Needs to feel wanted and special. Been very tight with Vince. Mm-hmm. But Vince realized that to win this war, he doesn't need the mushy kumbaya Austin. Mm-mm. What did he need?
I need the old Stone Cold.
That's right. Austin was not happy. He didn't want to be that.
No, he wanted to be Austin. The happy, friendly, making lemonade and playing with kitties and loving Deborah. Austin.
Deborah making bad cookies. And
him and Vince being buddies. So the night after King of the Ring, everything changed. Vince and Shane ended up with the WWF and WCW at war. Landstorm ran in on May 28th. WCW guys began popping up throughout WWF programming. Madison Square Garden June 26th, the night after King of the Ring, Shane and Vince had a confrontation. And Booker T came in and dropped Vince with a scissors kick. And Vince went from arrogant, smarmy heel to the owner of a company that we all watched as kids being attacked by these rogue superstars from an evil promotion that had eventually lost the Monday Night War. On the 7-2 Raw from Tacoma, Vince gave WCW a chance to show their stuff. And the main event, as we said, was Booker T and Buff Bagwell. Scott Hudson and Arn Anderson did commentary. That was Arn's first appearance on WWF TV since November 1989. The match was a disaster, as the WCW rest hold style main event wrestling clashed badly with the Attitude crowd. Austin and Kurt Angle ran in and attacked Booker for what he did to Vince the previous week. They tossed Bagwell out of the building, and outside of a quick cameo on SmackDown, you'll never see him on TV again. After that experiment, Shane's stance changed, and he went from just wanting to compete with the WWF to being malicious, Bischoff-type heel, who wanted to take over and destroy the company and his father. On July 9th, the storyline took another turn during a tag match, which we talked about earlier. Later during the night, Shane and Vince bumped into each other backstage. Shane told his father ECW needed to be taken care of, and as we talked about, ECW, WCW was born to take down the WWF champion, and that was their goal. They wanted to bring in Steve Austin and that title, but Vince said, that's the one man I can count on. I can count on my world champion. On 7-12, Vince asked Austin if he would help in the takedown of WCW-ECW at the inaugural brawl at the pay-per-view, but Vince, as you said, Scott, did not want the current hug-giving, kumbaya-singing champion. I need the old Stone Cold, the 98-99 beer drinking, middle finger, son of a bitch who kicked ass and took names. Austin started to take the bait and then just said no and walked away. The following Monday on Raw from Providence, and yours truly was in attendance, mm-hmm. Austin was at the locker room, Austin was at the Friendly Tap Bar, owned by Tim White, throwing back beers, upset, feeling betrayed and sad. He's playing pool, sees the TV. In both WWF locker room and ECW, WCW locker room were pumping themselves up for their big match on Sunday. Freddie Blassie came in and gave a rally call, telling them to stand up and fight, and he stood up out of his wheelchair. Austin then breaks the pool cue in half, off the table, and leaves. And at the end of the show, as the WCW-ECW faction was beating up the WWF, Austin's black truck peels into the arena, broken pool cue in hand, cracks a couple of Alliance guys over the head with it backstage. Cut to the arena, the glass breaks, the Civic Center goes insane, and Austin, as we know and love, struts down the ramp, beats the shit out of everyone, stuns between 7 and 10 Alliance guys in succession, and the WWF now had their flagship on the team at his best. Awesome moment, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
1A with the Mick Foley world title win, as far as pops,
mm-hmm.
and just people out of their mind to see him. It was just insane. And we were just chanting Austin, Austin, all the way out of the building, into the street, just everyone on cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
Just an awesome moment. One of my favorite live moments of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And an awesome Raw moment. And I feel like we don't see that one enough on like all these comps and DVDs and everything. Like, what a great moment.
Yeah.
The pop when he came out was just amazing. And he had only really, because he'd been heel and everyone was kind of pissing on it. And then he had been so soft, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And after Triple H's injury had broken up, Austin started to become paranoid about who he could trust and who he couldn't. And that's why he was relying on Vince for emotional support and comfort. Instead of being an ass kicker, he was carrying a guitar around and singing songs and giving hugs. And that's why Vince wanted the old Austin. But go ahead. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge moment. I remember watching it, of course. And I think that moment got me more pumped for the pay-per-view than anything before that. As much as I was looking forward to seeing all these, you know, new guys in a different venue and all that kind of thing, I think that night got you really pumped for that main event. Perfectly. You were talking about like storylines being rushed and everything. Well, this was a great moment where like these two or three weeks where Austin was kind of a little mushed, and I think that built to that moment that you had at the PCC, and a huge opportunity there to really pump up this pay-per-view and get, you know, few extra buy rates on the back end. So yeah, incredible live moment for you in the building and for us watching at home. It was awesomer for me, in case of work, I think it was. Awesome moment. Mm-hmm. Now, let us talk about the other team, who this group of WWF warriors will be facing. The Dudley Boys, who were the big tag team from the ECW faction. Rhino, DDP, and a guy who we've actually mentioned his name a lot, but this is his official first match on pay-per-view. Let us talk about him.
Booker T.
Yes.
Raised on the tough streets of Houston, Booker Huffman became a single father who needed to upgrade his life for his son, recommended by his brother Lane to a wrestling school by Ivan Putski. They both joined in 1991 and were soon teaming in the GWF until 1993, when they signed by WCW, originally named Kane and Cole. The team would become known as Harlem Heat, start as heels, basically slaves, to Colonel Robert Parker, 1993 War Games. So sister Sherry Martel, who eventually managed them, they became their names Booker T and Stevie Wright, which is what they used on the indies. Mm-hmm. For the next 4 years, they dominated the tag team ranks, winning the tag team title 7 times, feuding with Public Enemy, the Steiner Brothers, and the Outsiders. By late 97, it was clear Booker had what it took to be a single star, so they broke apart. He won the World TV title on December 1997, and he would eventually become involved in a great feud with Chris Benoit, including a best-of-seven series to determine the number one contender to the TV title, at the time held by Fit Finlay. He and Steve Ray reunited at Harlem Heat and won the tag titles again in 1999. Booker T would eventually join the Misfits in action as G.I. Bro. The real spike in Booker's career came at Bash of the Beast 2000, the same night Vince Russo fired Hulk Hogan and went into a shoot tirade on the Hulkster. At that same show, Booker T became world champion, defeating Jeff Jarrett, joining Ron Simmons as the only African-American world champions in WCW history. He would win the WCW title 4 more times, including on the final Nitro on March 26, when he defeated Scott Steiner, statistically becoming the most decorated champion in WCW history, winning 23 total titles.
Wow.
He would make his first appearance at King of the Ring, attacking and injuring Steve Austin during the three-way title match with Benoit and Jericho. And Scott, I know you love this next fun fact because you're a geek about this stupid shit, but go ahead.
Yes. The first pay-per-view since No Way Out 1998, ironically, in Houston, that didn't have a world title match. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, that's not a big deal.
Right.
The world title was not important. Whereas in No Way Out 98, it was because Shawn Michaels couldn't get out of bed.
All right. This so a lot of case. And a lot of star power here.
Yeah.
29 minutes the match goes.
Mm-hmm. I remember it being that long. It's crazy.
I liked Rhino in this match.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool touch. It really elevated him, I thought. Everyone else was kind of at that level already, but putting Rhino really solidified that they thought of him as a major player on the Alliance side.
It was good. Well, it kind of make logic sense, because you had Booker, who was the last WCW World and U.S. champion. You had DDP, who was DDP. You had the Dudleys, who were the last, you know, real tag champions. And you had Rhino, who was technically the last ECW World and TV champion. So you had Booker, who had the top two WCW belts when it closed, and Rhino, who had the top two ECW belts when they closed. So it made perfect sense.
It was good rehab for DDP too, I thought.
Yep. Yeah,
put
definitely.
Back in here. So a really good match. I really enjoyed this one. All 10 guys know how to work a match and did a great job. Did you think it was weird that Vince all of a sudden went from being like a despicable, cheating prick, mega maliacal, whatever the fuck the word is, what's that word?
Megalomaniac.
Now all of a sudden he's like this kind of like weird old man. Like he needs, I don't know. He just went to like old man from like crazed prick overnight. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Like he's kind of like senile old man that they're trying to steal the company from his you know, the kids to try to take it from their hands.
Yes. It was weird, but I thought it was written fine, and I think it was gradual that we were getting to that point where the WWF needed to be the baby faces. And again, the whole tone of the show tonight is disbelief in suspending disbelief. And now it's, all right, well, Vince is a bad guy, but now he can't be the bad guy. Well, we don't want them winning. Or yeah, it was just a whole, you just kind of had to take March to July and kind of erase it and start over. This is really what it was. And then he could just, and then the night out, I mean, when the alliance ends, is when the whole storyline ends is where it really gets funny. But so, yeah, I mean, we just need to suspend disbelief, right? All the heel stuff is gone, and now Vince is the, you know, the gentle giant of the industry who built what we all loved as kids and now is being taken away from us by his bratty kids kind of thing. And we kind of had to roll with that. The match is fantastic. Good pace, fast. I agree with you about Rhino. But I was, you kind of knew that someone was going to turn. Obviously, it was not, I don't think it was a secret that the Alliance was going to win. Obviously, if you're starting this storyline from scratch, I think everybody kind of knew that the Alliance was going to win. So somebody was obviously, I don't think it was going to be clean, so somebody obviously was going to turn.
Right, and it was teased, obviously, to be one of the WC, you know, Jericho, and a lot of people thought maybe Angle may turn. Obviously, you knew Kane and Taker weren't going to do it. So I think the money going in was probably Angle or Jericho jumping over. But it instead was Scott, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who actually had ties to ECW and WCW, obviously.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Didn't completely make sense, though, because he had, you know, bitched so much about WCW. So when you look at his history, it didn't make sense. But within the storyline we're in, it does. Because mm-hmm. he feels like he needs to be loved and shown affection. He felt like Vince kind of turned on him with this.
Right.
One of my pet peeves, though, is Austin wrestling a half-hour match and then turning at the end. That's one of those things that always kind of drives me nuts when guys do that.
Mm.
You know, it's like, if you're going to turn right away. But
yeah,
whatever.
I
suspend belief again, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, again, I thought the cool thing that I was noticing was Jericho had come out in his, you know, in the purple tights, but he had the barbed wires on him.
Yeah,
yeah. Some kind of very, you know, veiled
ECW ties.
Hint of like, oh my God, he's going to turn to ECW. But I was annoyed by this, to be honest with you. I didn't think we really needed another Austin heel turn. I think he needed.
Well, he never really turned face. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Again, disbelief. A lot of confusion.
Yeah, it's almost like that WrestleMania 15 thing with Triple H and China. Like, did they really turn? I mean, not really. Maybe he was just setting things up. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they didn't turn. They just left Kane. It was like Kane turned face. It was, you know, yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was a great match, though. And but now as anticipated, the Alliance have now firmly entrenched themselves into the WWF, and now they're going to have things done their way because right.
They own the champion. They own the world champion.
Yep.
And it kind of makes sense, too, that Austin would fuck McMahon again. You know what I mean? So, like, Vince let his guard down. They became friends, and Austin screwed him again.
Yep, except this time it's in reverse. Austin is the heel and Vince is the face, which I think is very, very weird. Very hard to...
I also like the positioning as Kurt as the top guy. He had the match won till Austin turned.
Yes.
So they're clearly positioning him to take Austin's place as the top dog on the WWF side. They continue the Taker DDP thing as well. I thought Jericho looked strong. You know, there were rumors that Austin may go, but like I said, I think others thought maybe it would end up being Kurt and a swerve. It was weird that they kind of teased it, so you thought it wouldn't happen because they were saying it. But it did, and we'll talk more about it at SummerSlam, how they kind of handle it the night after and going forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as a show as a whole, Scott, did this, I mean, it got a huge buy rate.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, a lot of anticipation. Did it deliver?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, it was a really strange show. It was weird having two play-by-play guys, but I thought overall, I thought Cole did a pretty good job telling the story.
He did better here than he has in the past. That's
yeah, sure. And JR's kind of very emotional, you know, commentary kind of, they complemented each other. The matches were, some were good. We had a couple of real good ones. Two of the last three matches were fantastic. The undercard, you know, I do really like the X-Pac Kidman match. The rest of them were, all right. It was still nice.
I mean, a lot of pairings that, and a lot of pairings that made sense, but just didn't really mesh.
Right.
A lot of the way. Yeah, it's a solid show. I can't say it met all expectations, but again, we're just at the beginning, and you had to get the Austin heel turn, you know, flip over if that's how you want the driver to be, is Austin leading the alliance. Did you think it took away from them, though? Like, they had to be carried by a WWF guy?
No.
Like, you don't think it would have been better if they had, like, Goldberg debut in this match at the end?
Oh, that would have been awesome. Now, there's a thought.
Or Steiner and Flair come out. Like, I just feel like it made the alliance kind of look weak, that they had to turn to... It looked good that they stole him, but it looked kind of weak that they had to take WWF's best guy to make them legitimate.
True. I think the best spot would have been, I would have, if you really wanted to do this upright and not need the NWO, I'd have paid, maybe not Goldberg, because I think you wanted, I think Vince was smart enough to think that guy could be an awesome babyface here down the line. This is where I think you get, you pony up and bring in Hall and Nash back.
Yeah, I'd say Hall and Nash or Steiner. I mean, Flair would have been tough too. He probably would have been a face off the bat.
Yeah, you know.
I think Steiner could have worked here too, coming out.
Yeah, because he could be a douchebag when he wants to be.
All right, there is Invasion 01. We have one feedback. I'm sorry, it's my fault. I put it up late. All feedback now will be on Facebook page, facebook.com/placetobenation. Look there every Monday, Sunday or Monday for the thread, and you have to post there. No more a message board. So, Bill Ritchie, do you have it in front of you, Scott? Or do you want me to read it?
I don't have it in front of me. Go ahead.
First, the good. The show kicks off with what is, for my money, the greatest opening video ever made for pay-per-view. I'll pop in the disc sometimes just to watch that video. The rest of the show, eesh. The missed opportunities. I get the feeling we'll be discussing in great detail over the next few weeks. I guess the action on this card is fine overall, but it was hard getting invested in the us versus them angle they were pitching when half the guys on the other team had been wrestling on the WWF banner just a month earlier. If the main event team had consisted of Flair, Sting, Goldberg, Luger, Steiner, DDP, Booker T, or some combination of that, that would have said WCW. That would have felt like an invading force. This is just the same heels we've been watching for years, paired with a couple of newcomers. Combine that with the fact that a few legitimate WCW guys were fortunate enough to earn a spot in the show, were shuffled to the undercard to favor the high-profile RVD, and even more guys that had been WWFers just a week ago. Hang on, I just lost it. Sprinkle in a truly atrocious referee match and cap it off with a heel turn with no purpose other than piss people off. It's no wonder this show is a poster child for what could have been. All right, Scott, Invasion in the books. Let's quickly talk rest of this week. Wednesday night, we debut the PTBN main event.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be hosting a roundtable with the PTB Nation staff members talking current wrestling product.
Yes.
Something we don't do a lot of here anymore, so it's perfect forum and venue for you. And I think you'll be a great host on that show. So everyone tune in. Thank you. That should be up on Thursday evening or Friday morning, PTBN main event. And Wednesday night is also the debut of the Kevin Kelly Show. Kevin's going to have his own podcast, his own site, as part of PlaceToBeNation.com. That show is going to be every other Wednesday. So every other week, Scott, is just one dose of the Place to Be podcast, and then every other week we'll be back to two. Kevin Kelly Show this week, we're going to talk about the Ring of Honor show coming in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about some sports news, some pop culture stuff, maybe with a Royal Rumble. We're headed for that. And we have a huge special guest, Adam Cole, the Ring of Honor world champion.
That's awesome.
Will be our first guest on the Kevin Kelly Show. So stay tuned for that. Scott will be back next Monday. We're going to have kind of a hybrid show. As you know, I will be in Pittsburgh with Brad, Chad, and a bunch of the crew. I think it's about 11 or 12 of us going down there to watch a Ring of Honor. We're going to watch a Royal Rumble. I'm bringing the computer. We're going to record a podcast that night after the show back in the hotel room. Back in the home base, you're going to do a recording with Will and maybe a couple other guys talking about watching it on TV. We're going to mesh those two, and we're going to make it a PTV episode. So look for that on Monday night. And then next Wednesday, Scott Keith will be joining us for SummerSlam 2001. So big couple weeks here.
Yes.
Stay tuned to the Twitter page and the Facebook page for all of your updates. We'll keep you posted on what's going on. A lot of changes for the good at PlaceToBeNation.com. Thank you, as always, for your support as well. All right, Scott, let's wrap. I am done. I'm sure you are as well. We'll be back Wednesday with the main event and the Kevin Kelly Show. And then next week, Scott, me and you back together for, for the Rumble recap. And then Wednesday for sure for SummerSlam 01. So until then, take care, Scott. I will talk to you soon.
Yeah. And Amanda.
Yeah.
And Bay too.
Nothing you don't even say. Have a good trip to all the guys going.
Well, I would have done that on main event.
Oh, okay.
But I'll tell you. Have a good trip.
Thank you. You're welcome. When the sun's going to rain and lose their life, I said, whoa, good God, yo.
Fisherman. Whoa. It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker. Whoa. It's got one friend, that's the Undertaker. Listen to me.